This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is now 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program here on Monday, December 30th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Back in after a couple of days off, I'll look back at what makes Wisconsin great, those tours with Trygve Olsen, Jane Matt Nair. Also, we played a little bit of that with our Amory. That was a great interview up there with Jane and Amy up there in Amory.
April Zimmer.
Thank you very much. Yeah, absolutely. And so that was a lot of fun. Thank you for all your work putting that together, Mr. Zommers. Appreciate that. Glad to be with you today. Live show again tomorrow. Luke Mathers will be in for a Tuesday tangent with Lukester. On Wednesday, my very own sister, Heather Albaugh-Galloy, will be joining me on the program for New Year's Day. We'll talk a little bit about the Rose Bowl. We're big fans of that. We've been to the parade, been to the game a couple of times, and we'll also preview all the games going on, big bowl championship series games, or I guess they'll call bowl. Now it's the college football playoffs games on New Year's Day, and then back with live shows on Thursday and Friday. So that's the big, Peter Rapine will be in on Friday with a hysterical look at the weekend review. Also, I don't know about you, Zommers. I'm enjoying the holidays, but I'm always feel a little bloated. And I came in today and our very own Luke Mathers did all kinds of baking and he brought in these delicious, like chocolate chunk. I don't know what they call. I call them delicious. It's great here. Sorry to eat in the air, but that's really good.
I'll have to go grab one later.
They're really good. And he's requiring us now to eat X number of cookies a day because they made so many over the holidays.
We'll see.
Did you have some holiday baked goods as well?
Definitely. Yeah. Cookies for sure. Mostly cookies.
Yeah. It's a great time of year. My mom made the traditional Bohemian Christmas bread, which was absolutely fantastic. She did all kinds of cookies herself. So I had some eggnog. It was a good time to have by all. So it was in Richland Center. Was up in Shawnee over the weekend. Seen my dad and stepmom up there. So family got together and it was just, I had the chicken. My stepmother makes great chicken wings. So it was eating my way through the week, quite frankly.
Weren't we all?
Coming up this hour, what's worse, your chance to vote in and be a part of the pressing questions of the day. And yes, we're going to get into talking a little bit about politics over the weekend. Mega World has stirred things up, not amongst themselves this time. The leaders of the MAGA folks have decided to go after each other. And what they've decided to go after each other on is interesting. We'll explain here in a little bit. But first of all, a tough week. This last week, as we said, lost former President Jimmy Carter at 100, former State Senator Tim Cullen, my God.
You're about to get a phone call
right,
from Dale.
Right. Dale, I talked to him this morning. He's very much alive. Former State Senate Majority Leader Tim Cullen, who passed away at 80. Former State Senator George Petak, Republican, who passed away, I believe, at 78. And then there were some celebrities that passed away as well.
Early to rise. Early to bed. And in between, I cooked and cleaned and went out of my head. Going through life with blinders on, it's tough to see. I had to get up, get out from under and look for me. There's a new girl in town.
That is the incomparable Linda Lavin, not only an actress, but she sang this theme song to her own show. Linda Lavin, longtime TV and Tony-winning stage actress, best known for her Emmy-nominated role as that title character on the sitcom Alice has passed away. According to her publicist, she was 87 years old. Linda Lavin died yesterday from complications of recently discovered lung cancer, according to her rep. She had been promoting her new Netflix series, No Good Deed, and was shooting an upcoming Hulu comedy series called Mid-Century Modern when she got the diagnosis. Lavin's career began on Broadway as a child actor in the 60s and was nominated for her first Tony in 1970. She would go on to 6 nominations, winning in 1986 for Broadway Bound. Always with a foot in the door, both TV and stage, Lavin took a recurring role on the ABC cop shop sitcom Barney Miller in 1975, which landed her the role of the titular truck stop waitress in the 1976 sitcom Alice. The series ran for 9 seasons on CBS. You're too young to watch it. Have you ever seen reruns like on Nick at Night or anything like that?
Not of that show, no.
It was a family staple of ours. Was very relatable because towards the end of the show, my parents got divorced. I think the whole single mom and kid thing was relatable. But it was also one of the great characters was Flo, the sassy waitress from the South, and her tagline was, "Kiss my grits." So, you know, somebody would say something, she'd say, "Kiss my grits," when she was really ticked off. And then you had the guy who owned the diner was Mel Sharples. And then you had Vera, and Mel would call her the dingbat because she was just a spacey, kind of flighty person. And hilarity ensued. People would come into the cafe, and it was well-written and a lot of fun. You can still see it on various places on TV. So Linda Lavin has passed away, and she has left us at age 87.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Greg Gumbel. Welcome to the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship Selection Show. Just a short while ago, the selection committee finished up this year's tournament brackets. 32 teams received an automatic bid, 36 await an at-large.
That is the incomparable Greg Gumbel as he opened up each and every Selection Sunday show for the NCAA tournament on CBS. He also had a great career in the NFL, calling games for CBS as well. Greg Gumbel passed away over this last weekend as well, the age of 78, according to his family, of cancer. This one came as a bit of a surprise. We hadn't heard from him. He, for those who are big basketball fans, for the first time in over 20 years, he did not host that show that you just heard, Selection Sunday show, had someone else sit in, and they said, well, he was dealing with family medical issues. But that was it. And look, I mean, to each their own, right? But apparently Greg Gumbel was one of those people that really liked to keep things to himself. So he did not share his diagnosis with a lot of people. And now it has come out that he told his closest friends and associates, look, we're going to try these treatments and it's either going to work or it didn't. And of course, it obviously did not. And he succumbed to the cancer over the weekend, 78 years old. And I found one of the best tributes over the weekend to Greg Gumbel from his colleague, Seth Davis on CBS. And just so well written. I want to share a little bit of this, with you. He says, quote, Greg Gumbel did not care for parades. I'm not sure why. Maybe it was something about the artifice of it all. The way people get together and cheered for all those silly things that were strolling by. Mostly, I think it was an affection, a touchstone of humor for Greg to come off as curmudgeonly when everyone knew he was actually the sweetest man alive. Greg also didn't like golf. He tried it a couple of times, hated it, gave it up, and spent the rest of his life mocking the game and those who enjoyed it. This was a constant source of amusement because Clark Kellogg and I love golf almost as much as we love college basketball. When we wax poetic on the CBS set about our prospective games, the courses we played, Greg would always sit back in his chair and roll his eyes. He would make us chuckle with the overly grave tones he used when reading a promo on CBS's golf coverage. If a highlight came on showing a player about to strike a putt, Greg would crack, "Bet it goes in." And of course it did. Then stepping away from the article a little bit by Seth Davis, he talks about the fact that he was a consummate professional, that he treated everybody on the set with respect, from the set crew, the camera people, and that he really only got riled one time Because when we watch these things, to people might not understand media, when you're watching college basketball, especially the first round, and games are starting and ending each different times, well, the guys in New York, they're doing all these cut-ins and sometimes within seconds of each other. And people are talking in your ear and you got things in front of you. Well, apparently Gumbel had called and said, you know, now we're going to take you to Gonzaga and Michigan or whatever the game was. And the producers took the audience to somewhere else. And Gumbel just kind of threw his pen up in the air and was not happy because it made him look like an idiot. And one of the camera people, who is Gumbel's best, one of his best friends on the set, said, you know, made a smart ass comment to him and made him actually start laughing again. But that's pretty much as mad as Greg Gumbel ever got. And Davis goes on just to talk about what a great friend he was, how they got together, he and Clark Kellogg and Greg Gumbel, every selection show, and would talk and have a dinner every year, and how much he was involved in his kids' life, that Davis would take his kids into the set from the time they were little, and Gumbel always had time for them. And look, I have the fortune of knowing a couple of people in higher echelons of media who are extraordinarily nice, and I think that when you have somebody like Greg Gumbel, I mean, I never saw him make a mistake on the air, whether it was calling. He was the first black commentator or play-by-play person to ever call a Super Bowl, by the way. First person of color to ever call a Super Bowl. Was a historical figure. Was at ESPN for a while before he went to CBS. Called play-by-play games, hosted the NFL on CBS. Then, of course, was the studio host for many years of men's basketball, the NCAA. It will not be the Final Four like it has been without Greg Gumbel. It just won't. But to know from the people that worked with him the closest that he was also a man of character, a man of humility, and a man of compassion just fills my heart. Davis ends this by saying, I've known for a while that this day will probably be coming, but now that it's here, I can hardly believe it. Greg leaves behind a legacy that is virtually unparalleled in the sports broadcast business. He worked in multiple places, the highest level, calling Super Bowls and Final Fours and countless games in between. If you watched him on TV and thought, he seems like a great guy, I'm here to tell you that you're right. You can't be in front of the camera for that many hours over that many years and hide who you really are. And even if you could, Greg would have never tried. Here's Greg Gumbel's sign-off at one of those Final Fours.
And so tonight, after years of sustained excellence, Connecticut coach Jim Calhoun and his spirited Huskies finally got the shot they deserved, and they made the most of it. Our congratulations also to Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski and his Blue Devils, who throughout the season represented the gold standard in college basketball. With two national titles and five trips to the Final Four, Duke can still lay claim to the title as the team of the 90s. This mad march of 64 teams and 63
Greg Gumbel
games has
was 78 years old. May he rest in peace. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This one goes out to Dale Schultz.
I woke up still not dead again today. The internet said I had passed away.
Poor Todd.
If I died, I wasn't dead to stay.
Yes, that's probably a good thing to make clear. A Freudian, not Freudian, but slipping. Unfortunately, we've lost a lot of people last week, and I meant to say former Senator Tim Cullen, who did pass away at the age of 80 last week, and I started to say my former boss. So, yes.
Only because they worked so closely together.
Yes. Yes, they had a very close friendship, and Senator Cullen will certainly be missed. Welcome back to the show. 21 now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Talking also about Linda Lavin, TV's Alice, passing away, and this brings up from Dave in New Berlin. We should do a whole show or a segment. We will sometime on old TV shows, and asks, does Todd have a favorite roommate on Three's Company? Great show. Favorite roommate. Boy, that's tough. I'm tough between Jack and Chrissy. Chrissy was entertaining and just being an airhead and made me laugh a lot with her lines. But I think just the slapstick comedy of Jack and some of the looks and some of the facial expression. He was kind of the 1970s, early 80s Jim Carrey, John Ritter was. And I think just a great acting expanse that was John Ritter as Jack on Three's Company. So I'll go with Jack. You ever seen that show, Zomers?
I have not.
You have not. No. Great show. Great show to dial up. All right, 22 past the hour of 1 o'clock time once again. For what's worse, let's go.
Then, of course, the choice is yours.
You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that.
Time once again for what's worse. No prize money involved. Simply your chance to have your voices heard across the statewide Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. By the way, somebody was it? Who was it? Andrew in Maine asking my sister's going to be on the show on Wednesday. Heather, he says, the greatest production assistant, not assistant. See how he did that? A sister and favorite all ball sibling. Will she be live in person? Kind of, sort of, because we're taping the whole thing today, actually.
So the answer is neither?
But kind of, sort of, both. Anyway, yeah, Heather will be here talking about the Rose Bowl and whatever else we want to talk about. Maybe we'll just drink on January 1st. My mother's having a heart attack. Would you quit talking about that? She's very concerned about my liver. There's nothing wrong with it. What you have to understand is I talk about it a lot. I talk about drinking a lot more than I actually do.
Because it's funny.
Because it's kind of like Dean Martin. You know how you always used to have a cigarette and drink and he act drunk? I don't act drunk, I don't think, on the show. But he really didn't drink that much. It was a thing. That's all it is. But anyway, yeah. All right. Here we go now. What's worse? And this is timely. Timely indeed, as Mike Lucas likes to say. Losing your phone or losing your keys. What's worse, losing your phone or losing your keys? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You could also text us on the Civic Media app. What's worse, losing your phone or losing your keys? Text us in and let us know, or call in as well. Cindy, listening in Appleton on the phone line. Cindy, thanks for calling in. What's worse, losing your phone or losing your keys?
Well, I just lost my keys at the grocery store the other day, locked myself out. So.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm losing my keys. I mean, I just had been at one of the dollar stores like 5 blocks from my house. If I would have did it there, I could have walked home. But no, I'm like 5 miles away from home now. So, yeah.
So what did you do?
I just called a friend and she came and got me and then took me home and got my keys, went back and opened my, because I have a spare at home, but right, you know, right. The whole point is, duh.
I know it's, so. I've done both and I don't know why, I guess I've lost my keys at home. Here's an embarrassing story I'll tell on myself. This was years ago. I couldn't find my keys. I need to go to work in the morning and I looked everywhere. And finally, in fact, I had to call in and say I was going to be late. I couldn't find my keys. And I didn't know where my spare ones were. So I did what they said to do, like literally started writing out what I did the night before. And it turned out I'd gotten groceries. And I put my keys in the freezer when I put food away in the freezer. Gosh. My keys were in the freezer. My car, my truck keys. You ever done that, Cindy? Cindy, she's like, I'm out of here. If you're that goofy, I'm out of here. Are you still there, Cindy?
Hello.
Oh yeah, yeah. So yeah, have you ever locked your you put your keys in like a place like the freezer, like I did?
Well, actually, I dropped them one time in a tote. Like I keep a couple of totes upstairs stuff in. And I dropped it in the tote, and I'm like, I know they're in my house somewhere, but I did the same thing you did. I kind of backtracked and found my tote. Yep. Keys in my tote, but yeah, stuff like that just drives, because you know you've got them somewhere. It's just like Your brain's in a different place and you don't make that connection, and it drives me crazy when I do stuff like that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks, Cindy, for the call. Happy New Year to you. Appreciate you calling in. What's worse, losing your phone or losing your keys? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Tom in Jackson, listening on WXCO, says keys, losing your keys are worse. Troy, our friend Troy Mount Horebs, on listening on WMDX in Madison, says the phone, keys are easier to replace. Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. WXCO, Tom and Jackson, Airhead. Not sure what that means, but okay. I'm the Airhead for me for locking my truck keys or putting my truck keys in my freezer. Llama, listening on WMDX in Madison, says the worst is when you lose your keys and find them in your pocket.
Or like my mom would lose her glasses all the time and we'd be like, Mom, they're on your forehead.
I will tell the story of myself. I didn't look that long, but I have said, where the H are my keys? And they were in my hand.
I used to have a habit of locking my keys in my car.
Really?
And then as Cindy said, having your phone so you can then call somebody to help you, either break into your own car mm-hmm. or drive you home to get the spare keys, it has been very useful. So for me, losing your phone is worse because then you can't contact anybody to help you.
Yes, you're absolutely right about that. Heather Watcher on Facebook says our house has had to invest in the electronic tiles. So both phones and keys can be located. FYI, I have not lost either. Oh, Heather says she has not lost either. Now, see, that's with the iPhones, at least, you have the, you know,
Find my phone
thing. So that makes it a little bit easier. I've used it with my AirPods or whatever the heck you call them. I know. But, well, give us a call. We'll keep taking phone calls on that. Take a little talk about news as well. Losing your phone or losing your keys? What's worse? 855-752-4842. Come on back. Talk about politics in Washington and how it relates to Saved by the Bell? Screech? Yes, Screech is in the news. Come on back.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
When I wake up in the morning and the alarm gets out of warning, I don't think I'll ever make it on time. By the time I grab my books and I give myself a look, I'm at the corner just in time to see the bus fly by. It's all right, cause I'm saved by the bell.
Welcome back to the Todd Wall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on Monday, December 30th. Zommer's on the board, dialing up a little theme song from Saved by the Bell. Again, Zommer's probably slightly too young.
I've seen a little bit, but not much.
I was older when my sister's generation, but I did watch a lot of episodes of Saved by the Bell. Big show. And it figures in, just bear with us, hold on. It figures into this more serious news story that popped over the weekend. And this is very interesting to me, by the way. So I could explain it all, quite frankly, but I heard no more succinct and better example of putting together what all this is about than CNN's own Caitlin Collins over the weekend. Essentially, internal civil war, I guess what other kind of civil war would there be? But internal civil war has broken out against MAGA between Elon Musk and kind of the quote unquote Trump base. And so you got Elon and it's kind of like Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble. You got Elon and Vivek Ramaswamy, and they're taking on the rest of the MAGA Trump world over immigration and visas. So here now, a serious breakdown from Caitlin Collins on CNN. But listen to what Ramaswamy is talking about. We're going to come back and talk about it. Here's Caitlin Collins.
Tonight, as President-elect Donald Trump is preparing for a widespread immigration crackdown when he takes office 25 days from now, we're seeing a crack between some of his top advisors and his MAGA base. Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are both facing major blowback from their own supporters for not only backing, but encouraging offering more visas to highly skilled foreign workers. Over the Christmas holiday, Musk posted this online saying, "Think of this like a pro sports team. If you want your team to win the championship, you need to recruit top talent wherever they may be. He later added, I'm referring to bringing in, via legal immigration, the top 0.1% of engineering talent as being essential for America to keep winning. He's talking about H-1B visas, which allow employers to hire highly skilled foreign workers. Musk, who himself is from South Africa, said that he once had this kind of visa, and he's arguing that Silicon Valley is facing a shortage of excellent engineering talent, as he put it. But the annual cap on those kinds of visas right now is at 65,000, with another 20,000 for those who get a master's or a doctorate in the U.S. Musk is being backed up by his partner in Trump's government efficiency initiative, Vivek Ramaswamy.
All right, Let's stop right there, please. We'll pick up one in a second, Zomers. So this is the serious part of the conversation. All right. So Elon Musk is saying, all that rhetoric about mass deportations and not letting anybody else in, that was really nice during the campaign. But you know what? We really do need to bring in some talented folks from outside the country because, you know what? We don't have enough engineers. And that's a whole nother bottle of wine, New Year's wine, we could get into, particularly here in Wisconsin, where there's a wait list at the University of Wisconsin-Madison for engineering. I just hung out with my godson and his two buddies out in Seattle, both graduates of the University of Wisconsin-Madison Mechanical Engineering Program, now proudly working for our United States military, God bless them, out there in Bremerton, suburb of Seattle. And we're putzing around here in Wisconsin on, by the way, both Republicans and Democrats, on not getting this University of Wisconsin Engineering School built, but we have a lack of engineers in this country. And so Musk is saying, you know what? We do need to let some people in, as it turns out, just the ones that we want. And the loyal Trumpists are like, wait, that don't add up. So that's a legitimate conversation to have. Here's what Barney Rubble, Vivek Ramaswamy, weighs in on his part of it.
Vivek Ramaswamy, he says it's a cultural issue that there aren't more competitive engineers in the U.S. Here's what he said online. A culture that celebrates the prom queen over the math Olympiad champ or the jock over the valedictorian will not produce the best engineers. A culture that venerates Corey from Boy Meets World or Zach and Slater over Screech and Saved by the Bell or Stefan over Steve Urkel and Family Matters will not produce the best engineers. But that argument is not going over well with Trump's MAGA base, certainly not online. Some of them saying, we did not ask them to engineer an immigration policy. Tech wants indentured servants, not high-skilled workers. You don't even know what MAGA immigration policy is. Now, Trump himself, who I should note restricted H-1B visas in his first term, has said on the campaign trail this time around that he did want to make it easier for educated foreigners to work in the U.S.
All right, let's stop that. We can talk about what Trump actually said a little bit later, if we get to that today. But I want to go back to Barney Rubble, Vivek Ramaswamy, talking about in a country that what do you say, celebrates the prom queen over the math Olympiad champion, the jock over the valedictorian, and here's where it took a weird turn. Zach and Slater over Screech and Stefan over Steve Urkel in Family Matters. So let's play that theme again, Zomber. There we go. So here's my point. This is fantastic. It takes Vivek Ramaswamy to come up with a bit. Why? Ramaswamy must have watched a lot of 90s television, number one, or early 2000s, whatever it was. If those that don't know, Saved by the Bell, a former sitcom, and Zach and Slater were kind of the cool kids of the TV show, and Screech was like the nerd. But do you really want to say that, Vivek? Because here's how it turned out. Now, Zach, he was kind of the jock of the, or one of the cool jocks of the show. Some people would say it was a little snarky, but he was played by Mark Paul Gosselaar, who has a very respectable career in television and film. He's still working, by the way, in film. He had a new movie come out last year called The Portrait. And on television, he's also in the main cast. He plays Hugh Sir Evans on a show called Found. He was also on a show called Will Trent on Barry. So, I mean, he's done a lot of work. He's been nominated for several awards. So, I mean, he's had a respectable career, Mark Paul Gosselaar, and that's the guy that played Zach on Saved by the Bell. Now, you want to talk about Mario Lopez, who played Slater, who is like a wrestler, easy on the eyes, I'll say that, and he's aged very, very well. Now, there is no more, I mean, I guess there are people more successful, but Mario Lopez has like 2-3 radio shows. He's on TV hosting like an Entertainment Tonight program, whatever that's called. The guy is everywhere. Very, very successful, Mario Lopez. Still working, still very successful. And he played Slater. So that's Zach and Slater. Now, Screech was kind of the annoying nerd guy on the show. He played, he's had this really high voice like that. Like his voice on Screech or whatever. Now this, and look, I take no pleasure in people's trials and tribulations. I mean, I wouldn't want to give my troubles to a monkey on the rock, as David Letterman says. But here's a guy who got into a lot of trouble. He was into drugs and things like that. In 2006, Diamond directed, and because I guess the guy was, he couldn't get any other work, so he directed and released his own celebrity sex tape. Now, I don't know anything about sex tapes, but if you're going to have a sex tape, don't you want it, like, leaked? Don't you want it, like, oh, you know, somebody found it? And shouldn't it be good? But Dustin Diamond, who played Screech, did his own sex tape and released it, called Screeched, Saved by the Smell. I'm not making this up.
Oh, my God.
I'm not making this up. All right? And so he said that, and it did not go well, as you might think. Well, it did not go well. And then he went into professional wrestling for a while. And then the poor guy was bankrupt, and he died of cancer in 2021 at the age of only 44. That's Dustin Diamond. That's Screech. So if you're Vivek Ramaswamy, do you really want to be saying why are we holding up Zach and Slater versus Screech? What's your thought on this? Who should we be looking up to? Zach and Slater or Screech? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842.
Apparently.
Or you can text us. And by the way, I didn't come up. This is Vivek Ramaswamy. It ain't me.
Apparently, he also formed an alternative metal band called Salty the Pocket Knife. And he played bass and wrote music. And he also appeared as a host at the 12th annual gathering of the Juggalos.
The Juggalos? What are the Juggalos? I've never heard of the Juggalos.
Oh boy, this is a whole rabbit hole.
We don't want to go into it.
Clown people.
Clown. Oh.
I'll just put it that way.
855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Who should we be looking up to more? Zach and Slater or Screech? Mark Paul Gosselaar and Mario Lopez or Dustin Diamond? Because Ramaswamy thinks it should be Screech. He also apparently not a fan of Stefan on Family Matters. I just think it's hilarious. Or maybe not hilarious. I think it's entertaining, the fact that these are the people that are now going to run our government in a matter of weeks. 855-752-4842. Jack in Merrimack. Jack, thanks for calling in. What do you think of this very important, as I say it, tongue-in-cheek debate brought on by MAGA and Vivek Ramaswamy?
Well, these are the continuing insanity of the MAGAs. The problem is that it's going to take us into 2025 and beyond. But without going there, let me simply say this. This is the same group of people that screams and yells, we got to be drilling more on American soil and producing American oil for Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they want to hire people from all over the world instead of putting a little bit of money into the universities so that, for example, all qualifying students could have a university education, mm-hmm. and maybe a few of those would actually become engineers, and maybe we wouldn't have to go outside of the country.
Yeah.
I mean, this is craziness.
Great point.
End of my thread.
No, I always appreciate it, Jack, and I agree that we need to put more money into our STEM education programs, both K-12 and also at the university. We need to be creating and graduating more STEM people. STEM meaning things like math and science.
Science, technology, math, and...
Thank you. I thank you for saving me, Jack. But you're absolutely right. And we don't have enough. But, of course, that's going to take time to gin it up, so to speak. And in the meantime, I was somebody who handled immigration for a congressman at one point in my life. I'm very familiar with H-1B visas. And they're very necessary for certain parts of our economy until we can graduate more people in engineering programs here in this country. And so that doesn't happen very often, but I'm going to say on this very narrow issue, I agree with Rob, or with Elon Musk on this. But the problem is that the Trump folks and Trump himself has promised one thing and now he's got to do another. And it's going to create this fight. And it's kind of, like eating popcorn. But I appreciate the call, Jack. Thank you so much. 855-752-4842. Bronwyn, in listening on WMDX, says, Screech. Where'd it go here?
Screech wasn't very smart, really. The girls were the intelligent ones.
Yes.
And you are spot on.
Yes. We're talking about Saved by the Bell. The girls on that show, Saved by the Bell, they were the intelligent ones.
Yes.
Absolutely. Cindy in Appleton, listening in. Cindy, what say you? What do you think about this thing?
I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about your last caller. He talked about how we don't have the engineering schools built ready to go. We're having, I don't know how many two-year campuses that are closing soon.
Yes.
Why can't they just retrofit those two-year campuses and get engineering students started with their first 2 years of school at those?
Well, that's a great
up
question.
And ready buildings. Yeah, there's buildings that are ready to go. All they need are instructors, I guess, so.
Yeah, I think that's it's a longer, complex answer to have more time for. But tough to have engineering programs 60 miles from the main campus. But your point is well taken. People should address this, and I wish more politicians on both sides would do that. Come on back, wrap up the show after this on the Civic Media Radio.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations across the state of Wisconsin you are listening to. A sports update with Mike Clemens. Did you watch the Packers yesterday's numbers?
I did not.
I listened. I listened on the radio driving back from Shawano. Great call, as always, by Wayne Larrivee and The Rock on the Packer Radio Network. You can hear that, of course, on WRCL Richland Center, up in Park Falls as well, and down at WRJN in Racine and Kenosha. And was listening on the radio, and Packers tried to make it back, tried to get it done, but came up 2 points short. And Mike Clemens was there and filed great sports reports, as always. Packers now only have won one game, I think 1-5 against teams in the division. Have one more chance against the Chicago Bears at home before they get into the playoffs. And look, I mean, they're going to have to put this together because they're going to be on the road throughout the playoffs. And they've got to figure out a way to win one of these on the road. I know there are injuries, particularly on defense, but Packers got to somehow try to get it together before the Bears come to Lambeau Field this weekend. I know we're making a little bit of fun of this, but I'm trying to be a little bit lighthearted about some of this heavier news about this debate on immigration, that now there's internal civil war within the MAGA community. But I want to end this on somewhat of a serious note today. I have a friend named Jane. No, not Jane Matinere, a different Jane. I have more than one Jane in my life. Although the Jane Matinere is lovely. But I have a different friend named Jane. She's now in her 70s, grew up in an area of Wisconsin with fruit orchards. And every year, Mexican immigrants and migrants, workers arrived in numbers at harvest season. Her parents wanted to protect their little girl and told her the migrants were dirty and dangerous and to be feared. My friend went to college. She spent a career as a school counselor. Knows all about prejudice, bigotry, discrimination, scapegoating, fear, and suspicion. And yet, she says to this day, when she sees a person with brown skin, she has a visceral reaction, suspicion, and fear. She understands intellectually about the prejudices planted in her as a child, yet she has trouble turning it off, to forget it, to unlearn it. Her education and work experience enabled an understanding of the dynamics that happened in our mind. Plus, her travels over the years to other countries erased her fears of others based merely on things like income or skin color. But many of us are not so fortunate. This past week on Christmas Day was the 100th anniversary of the birth of Rod Sterling. Sterling wrote screenplays and produced television shows, including his best-known series, The Twilight Zone. The Twilight Zone episodes released from 1959 to 1964 are still available on streaming services. Sterling began as a writer for radio, and he was there at the start of television. The Cold War was real. Fear of communists and atom bombs gripped America. Rod Sterling's stories are still relevant, even prescient, because they speak truth about the human condition. In season one of The Twilight Zone, an episode titled The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street has two protagonists. When aliens arrived in the neighborhood, both characters believe that they were doing the right thing. One is thoughtful, looks for facts, and seeks to calm his neighbors. The other plays into fears. He divides his neighbors into us and them, and eventually incites them. Aliens did not raise a finger against the residents in this Twilight Zone episode, but fear and prejudice became monstrous weapons. The end of each Twilight episode has a concluding narrative. And here is what Rod Sterling said at the end of this episode entitled The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street. Quote, "The tools of conquest do not necessarily come with bombs and explosions and fallout. There are weapons that are simply thoughts, attitudes, prejudices, to be found only in the minds of men. For the record, prejudices can kill and suspicion can destroy. And a thoughtless, frightened search for a scapegoat has a fallout all its own. For the children and the children yet to be unborn. And the pity of it is that these things cannot be confined to the Twilight Zone." Unquote. The words of Rod Sterling, great writer, Christmas Day being the 100th anniversary of the birth of Rod Sterling. Too often we talk about media and television, things that tear us apart or are kind of just don't do any good. That's why I always say great writing, right? Great writing in shows like The Twilight Zone have a meaning if we take time to sit and listen to them and really think about it. What's going on in Washington today, what's about to go on as we move into 2025, have your antenna up, all right? Don't rely on all the media sources, just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good. Thought that was an important way to end the show today in light of the news as we move into 2025. Great show today. Thank you to Matt Flynn for being here. Dahmer's always doing a great job. Your phone calls as well. Be back tomorrow with Luke Mathers. A little Tuesday tangent with Luke. And then a special New Year's Day show on January 1st. My own sister, Heather's going to be here as well. Todd Allball, say whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. See you tomorrow.
the national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.